Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I had entitled this message today, Equipped and Ready. Equipped and Ready. In fact, I want to invite you to, if you're not part of another church and all that, to come back, because I'm going to be focusing on the ecclesia, which is God's word for the church, Jesus' word for the church, in the next few months. We're feeling a pull and a real leading of the Lord to get everyone focused on that, because the Bible says that he will build his ecclesia or his church, and that the gates of, come on, Bible students, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so that's important. I think if the gates of hell is going to prevail against something, that we need to be a part of what it's not going to prevail against. Yeah? And so this word equip was pressing on my mind, and I give the definition. I'm going to give the definition of it. I didn't give it to you in the sound tower. But it means this: to supply with whatever gear or apparatus is needed for use or for any undertaking. It means to fit out as a ship or army, to get you fit. It also means to provide with intellectual or emotional resources to prepare. To prepare. And so that's a big assignment. And the Bible says that those who stand in this five-fold office, one of the five offices, we call it the five-fold ministry, which Sarah was just ordained into, that we have a job, Pastor Glenn, Apostle Glenn, love that. We have a job to do. And the traditional church, the model of the church, has become, we're just this containing house where people, you know, receive the Lord and they come here and they just kind of wait for him to return. And that was not the will of God, is not the commission of God from the very start. The job is to have you come together, fellowship, enjoy, have community and everything like that, but then also to go out there. You have an assignment that's not just in a building, but it's out there. To comfort people, to love people, to reveal Christ to people, to not be some, you know, annoying, Bible-thumping, crazy person, but to go out and be salt and light in the community so that people experience the love of God, right? But we're to build, not just share our witness, but we're to build. We're to start jobs. We're to be entrepreneurs. We're to help establish cities and rebuild cities and use all of the zhush, all the gifts, the talents, everything that God has given to us to go out there and be effective in the world. Yes? And so what Sarah has done, and myself and others, is that we've said yes to this assignment. And if we're not doing that, if we don't see the effect of what, you know, our faith is all about, then we've missed the mark. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says this, and his gifts, whenever you see a capital H, that means the Lord's deity, and his, God's gifts, to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as. So this appointing that we did today is not something I've done. He's done it. You see right there, capital H, he, capital H himself, appointed some, not all, as apostles. Apostles are special messengers, representatives. Apostles are very different from a pastor. An apostle goes into a city and he sees what needs to be built. He sees the people, but he sees the macro, the big picture, like the big visionary person and what needs to be built. And so he's going to strengthen pastors and the people that are going to take care of the people, but the apostle sees the big vision. And then he's appointed some. Now, you got to see this. They are gifts. So Sarah is a gift. She's God's gift. She can't walk around going, I'm God's gift to mankind, but she really is. She's God's gift. And she's God's gift to this house. And she's God's gift to the body of Christ. And so he's appointed some as apostles. He's appointed some as prophets. Prophets who speak a new message from God to the people. Now, you can operate in a few of these different offices, but generally you get one. Prophets are kind of strange people. They walk around saying, I feel, I hear, I see, you know, and they're, yeah, no one else really understands what they're talking about. But they can be a little odd and very blunt. They generally don't have the best bedside manner. They just are very matter of fact. And being around a prophet is, you got to just love them. Okay? You just got to. You just got to love them. But they do hear God. So honor. Honor that. And many people miss the message because of the peculiarity of the messenger. And what I'm trying to tell you is that you have to get used to some oddities with a prophet, because they aren't always feel-good type people. They have to work a lot on that, on their delivery. But they're going to be the person that says, hey, I see this in your life, and we've learned to soften the message a little bit. But we need to listen, because a prophet's job is to direct and correct your life. And so, again, you got to love him. He's also called some as evangelists. And an evangelist spreads the good news of salvation. An evangelist's main goal is, where are you going to spend eternity? They burn with it. Anytime they're in a crowd, they look around at the whole crowd and they think, I wonder how many of these people know Jesus. An evangelist is burning with just telling the next person, just going and telling. So an evangelist has a hard time staying in the local church because they're not really called to stay in the local church. Even though they're part of it, their assignment is they're sent. They gotta go, you know. And so you get around them, and they'll be just constantly on you. Do you know Jesus? Have you invited Jesus into the Lord, you know, as into your life? And they're just gonna hound you like a dog. I mean, until you say yes or you run away and you just quit, right? Which we don't want you to do. But you get around an evangelist is going to be very unsettled. They just got to get out there, and that's fine. God called some to be that, and we need that. But then he's called some as pastors and teachers, and what do? To shepherd and guide and instruct. And here's why. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service. All right? So we're called the saints. Isn't that good? People say, well, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I say, no, you used to be a sinner, but now you're a saint, saved by grace, who still sometimes sin, but that's not your identity anymore. Amen? You are a saint, but you have an assignment, and that is to be part of the local church, the local assembly, the local convening of these saints. You're to get together with them. And there's an assignment that you have, and that is to learn, to receive instruction, to receive guidance, to get the tools, to grow, to become an emotionally intelligent person. We teach emotional quotient around here. We teach relational quotient. We teach you how to be healthy in your soul, healthy in your life, healthy in your marriage, healthy in your relationships, healthy as a leader. We want that. We don't want you to just receive Christ and have your soul, you know, saved and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want you to do well. We want you to interact well. We want you to become successful, to get out in the community, to build businesses, to build marriages, to build families, to leave a legacy of love and righteousness and goodness Yeah? So we grow. And the job of these five offices is to equip you, to give you what you need, to fit you out, to go out and be amazing, right? Our job is not to do all the work of the ministry. And what we have seen in the last century is that you have 5% of the whole, or 10% of the whole, doing all of what we call the ministry. We say, they're in the ministry. Those are our ministers. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not right. You're the ministers. You're the ministers. From here to there. We minister, yes. But our job is to watch this. To equip and perfect the saints, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. One thing about this house is we teach the truth about prosperity, but I'm not up here trying to fleece the flock, trying to crowbar something out of your pocket so that I can go buy a yacht and live outside of my means. And we have seen an abuse of that message throughout what we call the body of Christ. And in this house, we don't do that. I just charge Sarah to not be a lover of money. We teach you how to steward money. But money is not our God. But we need money, right? We need money as the body of Christ to be able to go to the nations. It takes money to buy plane tickets. How many of you bought a plane ticket lately? Yeah, it takes money to do anything. But we don't do this for personal profit. What we do is we will profit. But I look at a minister and I say, are you doing this to get a paycheck? Because there's times when the money goes like that. And if you aren't in it for the long haul, God will take care of your bills. The moment that the money starts to dry up, guess what? You'll dry up too. We call those under-shepherds. We call those shepherds that are just, you know, they're not really called. They're the ones that are going to run away when the going gets tough. True shepherds are going to stay. They're not in it for personal profit. They know that they will profit. But we're to speak the truth in love. That's verse 15. In all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ of the church. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, are joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. So you need to supply. You're a joint. You're a ligament. You're a part of the body, and you need to be connected, yeah? And when each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. Now, I want to end there because I promised you I would be short. But I want to say this. In many of the original versions in the text, it says that our job, Sarah's job, Pastor Simone's job, Pastor Glenn, your job, Mother Didi, your job, all of those who stand in one of these five areas of gifting to the body of Christ, our job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. And the more of you take on that responsibility, you think, maybe someday you will be ordained. Maybe that's a desire you have. If you have that, come talk to me. Let's talk about it. But it's not just to get a platform and a microphone and a title. You will be seen and you will be heard if you stand in one of these offices. But there's a high cost and there's a high responsibility that comes with it. And with the responsibility comes the grace the grace to endure, the grace to stand, the grace to lead, the grace to discharge your duties. But it has to be about you. Everything I do in my life is for you. It has to be like that. Jesus, everything he did was for you. And I need you to respond. Jesus needs you to respond. Because the work of the ministry really is yours. It's your responsibility. And the word responsibility has the word response in it. We're always going to teach the truth in this house. I believe God is calling the church, his ecclesia, his governing body on the earth, to say, Lord, it's my season to respond anew. I'm making my voice heard. I'm throwing my hat in the ring. I'm bringing what I've been equipped with to the table, because I realize that I hold a very significant part of helping to see your body around the world strengthen and brought to completeness and brought into unity. Isn't that wonderful? You have a responsibility. And I realize that many of us who have been in typical ministry, we're tired. I see you, Bethany, over there. Her dad and mom, friends of mine, the Hammonds, beautiful church, Celebration Center in the city of Modesto. You know, look, we've been ministering for so many years, and a lot of us are weary. We're tired. And this is not a guilt trip to anyone out there. I'm just saying, we need family. We need you. We need you on board. We need you to greet. We need you to love. We need you to shake hands. We need you. We need you to pray. We need you to sing. We need you to teach. We need you to disciple. We need you to vacuum the carpet. Yeah? We need you to show up at work and not join the gossip circle. We need you to show up at work and be the one that sets a different example out there in the workplace where people go, what is it about their life that I feel so compelled and drawn to? Because that opens the door to conversation. We need you. We need you to get your equipment. We need you to get out there and begin to do what God's called you to do. We need you to show up when we have messages to equip you. We need you. We need you to respond. Amen? I hope you saw that, because you are the lifeblood of the body of Christ on the earth. And if you aren't healthy, we're going to continue to struggle. And I do believe that God is going to equip you in this season with some new things, but he needs you to get up and get her done. Amen? How many of you will respond by just saying yes? Amen? Say, I respond, Pastor. Come on, stand to your feet. All right. Don't leave Sarah and all of us hanging out here by ourselves. I fully expect she's been desiring to see a big, big, full worship team. And I do believe that in this next few years, we're going to see so many coming in. But I want to just encourage you today, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a very simple thing to do. You're not joining a church. You're not joining a religion. You're just simply saying, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you're the Savior. And I believe that you came and you died on the cross, because sin has a penalty, and it's a death penalty. And you came to give me life. And I may not understand all of it, but today I do decide to believe in you as Savior, my Savior. And if you do that, the Bible says if you believe in your heart, it's just simple, it's belief. If you believe in your heart and you are able to say it out loud, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll become part of his family and his church. And it's a personal decision. And if you want to do that, we always lead people in a prayer of salvation. And obviously we want you to make that choice from your heart. But we just do this to help you. I always say I'd rather you have it and not need it than to need salvation and not have an opportunity to receive it. And so we pray this prayer together. Prayers and formulas and things like that that are said just without true heart belief do nothing. They don't do anything. But when you say within your heart, within your own spirit, and only you know that, but Jesus, I believe this for myself. The Bible says you become a brand new creation. His spirit gives you life, eternal life. And so we're going to pray together. And I do pray that today is your day of decision. Say, Lord Jesus, come on, church, let's help. Lord Jesus, I confess that I need you as my Savior. I ask you to be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. And I thank you for giving me eternal life. Simple, right? The Bible says when you do that, all of heaven throws a party. Yeah? That your name is just written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be with him forever. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes I think of all of heaven just standing watching going, oh, they did it. We got, you know, someone else to celebrate. So, Lord, we thank you today for Sarah's yes. We thank you for the yes she made so many years ago to receive you as Savior. And we thank you today, all these years later, that she's saying yes to step into the office that you have ordained for her. We bless her. We bless her family. We bless everyone that's come out to celebrate her today. We bless this house who will continue to take leadership from her going forward in the future. And most of all, we declare that you are our Lord, and may our lives all continue to bring you glory, and may we continue to be responsive to your call. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.